right. Welcome, everyone, to Speak Truth Podcast, where we are seeking to give biblical answers to real-life, everyday situations. Today, we're going to be talking about the topic of revival, but before we do, I just want to say it's great to be back with you. I haven't been keeping up with the podcast like I should, but I have good reason for that. I just recently had a hip replacement, but I'm back, okay? And I'm looking forward to doing more podcasts in the future. So please stay tuned. Today I have two guests with me. I have Jerry Miller, who is one of our pastors here on staff at Edmonds First Baptist. He's been on staff here for 35 years. He has served in multiple positions. And Jerry, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Amen. Being here with you. And we also have Keith Haygood. Keith Haygood has been on staff here at Edmonds First Baptist for 15 years and serves as our worship arts pastor and does many other things as well. I don't know that, I think every staff member does many other things, yeah, right? Sure. But I'm so blessed. I've been with these men. I've been on staff here 11 years coming this October. So I've served with these men for 11 years. They were here before I got here. They're still here. And to God be the glory. But these are seasoned men. Seasoned men who've been around church for and served the church for many years. And I thought, you know what, who better to bring in here? Actually, to be honest with you, my producer actually invited them in here today. But who better? When I saw it was these two guys, I thought, you know what, they're the right ones. So I appreciate our producer having these two guys in here today. Today, we are going to be talking about the topic of revival. And one of the reasons that we're doing this is because our church, Edmonds First Baptist, we have a series of revival meetings. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're a member of Edmonds First Baptist, you want to take note of this. We'll be promoting it. We're already starting. But we have a series of revival meetings starting in October. So October the 1st through the 4th. Our evangelist for that week, our revivalist, will be Dr. Vern Charette. And the one leading our music that week will be Kirsch. What's his name?
Micah Kirsch
from First Baptist Church in Newcastle. So we are excited about having our upcoming fall revival. Now, again, we do realize that revival is not something you can schedule. So please understand that. But we are striving to do everything that we can to position ourselves for God to send revival. And so let me just start off by saying, what do you believe is, I'll just say it to my audience, I want you to think about this for a minute. What is revival? Okay, I'll just ask that to our audience. Now I want you to stop and think about it for a minute. What is revival? All right, let's just stop. You come up with your definition. Okay, some might define revival as a religious movement that seeks to renew the faith of believers and bring non-believers into the fold. Others might see it as a social movement that seems to bring about change in society. The reality, when we look throughout church history, is what you see is that it involves both, right?
Yeah, it does.
But regardless of how you define it, there is no denying that revival has played an important role in many historical and cultural movements worldwide. From the Great Awakenings in colonial America to the Jesus movement of the 1960s and 70s, revival has always been a powerful force for change and transformation, not just for people, churches, but also for society as a whole.
Yeah.
And so, Jerry, I'm just going to turn to you now. And when I ask you that question, Jerry, what is revival? What do you think about?
Well, I came up with an acrostic on the word revival. And so what it reminds me of, the R would stand for refresh. And so it's a time of refreshment, of spiritual refreshment unto the Lord. And the E would stand for evangelism. Revival is basically for Christians, but it is also a time where people could come to the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then V of revival is value. Mm. I would say it was value. God values us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he seeks us and he wants us to be his sons and daughters.
Yeah.
He does. And then I would be inspiring. Sometimes a revival can inspire your soul to do better in life and to get closer to Him. To get closer to Him. So V of revival, the last V, would be victory. God works great victories through revival sometimes. And I've seen it in my own ministry that there have been many victories come through a revival.
People being saved, marriages being healed. People being healed.
God is working.
God
is working during a revival.
Amen.
And so A is, I put acknowledgement. Mm. And I think that sometimes the reason that we don't have revival in our soul is because really we have forgotten to acknowledge Christ in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we acknowledge that, it makes a difference.
Mm.
It makes a difference in our life. And so the letter L means life.
Mm.
It just gives you new life.
Yeah.
If you're going to be refreshed, you're going to be able to be evangelized, you have value, you realize all these things, it's inspiring, it brings victory, we acknowledge His presence with us in our hearts, it gives us new life, a transformed life.
Yeah.
And so that's how I kind of think of revival.
Yeah, that's good. I think you definitely hit, you know, I wrote down here that revival is about renewal and transformation, and you hit both of those. It's about taking something stale or stagnant.
Exactly.
And God breathing new life into it, which is what you just said.
Yeah.
You said this too. This might mean renewing one's faith in God, revitalizing a church or a community, or even bringing new ideas or perspectives to the forefront of culture and society.
Yeah.
So when we think about revival, we have to think beyond just like maybe beyond just the church, but what we want to see God do in the church and thus in society as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been thinking about, and either one of you can answer this, as I've been studying Scripture, I've noticed that sometimes we think about revival as an event, something you put on the calendar, and you call it revival.
A series of services.
A series, some churches, and this is new, I'm not speaking against this, but some churches will have two scheduled revivals a year. What they mean is they have revival meetings with the hopes of God sending revival, right? Not every revival meeting is a revival. So I want you, Keith, I'll let you answer this. Think about it. So is revival an event? Or is revival a process?
I think the latter is true more than anything. The process, because revival doesn't just occur when we put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
We show up on Sunday through Wednesday or Friday or 2 weeks like they used to do back in the old days. Revival occurs when God's people get right with God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, Paul said that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. And he says not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm.
And so when I think about revival, I think about what I must do in preparation for it myself.
Yeah, so and so you just nailed something. God sends revival. We can't conjure it up.
Right.
But there are things that we can do.
Yes, there are.
To prepare ourselves.
Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
Share some of that.
Well, I just, you know, when God's people get right with God, He's going to bless. And I think the first thing that we need to do is get on our faces before God and pray.
Amen.
And I think there's several areas of prayer that we need to focus on. First of all, I think we all, every one of us, needs to pray for personal revival. And I think that should be a prayer that we pray every day, not just in preparation for a series of meetings.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And in so doing, we need to pray for personal repentance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's one thing to ask God to forgive us of our sins, blanket, and it's another to say, okay, God, you've revealed this sin to me. And am I going to hold on to it? Because if that's the case, then I'm not ready for revival. I'm holding on to my own sin. So it's a personal renewal. I think it's also a relationship renewal. In order to truly be right with God, we have to be right with others. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, you should leave your gift there, then go and be reconciled to your brother, then come bring your gift. So perhaps in the process of praying for revival, you ask God, God, where are my relationships? God, who in the body of Christ, first and foremost, do I have ill feelings toward? And do I need to go make things right with them? So that's really more of a private, excuse me, that's really more of a private thing in our worship of God as we serve Him. Mm-hmm. In a public way, your local church body, your friends with whom you worship regularly, excuse me, the worldwide church as well, but we've got Edmonds First Baptist Church. We're praying that God would send a revival here, but in so doing, may it spread throughout Edmond, may it spread throughout the worldwide church.
Yeah.
And it's all an act of worship.
Absolutely.
It's expressing our love and gratitude from our heart to God's heart, and we couldn't do it if He didn't already put it in our hearts in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I even think about at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray.
Look at that verse right here.
And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. But there's that condition, if, and then there's the response, then. If you will do this, if my people will do this, then this is what I'm going to do in response.
That's what it says, yeah.
So we worship God corporately as a group, but it has to start in our own heart. Personally. And then finally, sorry I'm talking so long. But
no, it's great.
And finally, we need to pray for the lost.
Yeah.
We want to see a revival. You see, hear revival reports. Well, nobody got saved, but we sure drew closer to the Lord and all that. Well, that's all well and good. But when revival really takes place, it turns into a crusade.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to pray for the lost. When we're meeting someone's physical or spiritual needs, we're being the hands and feet of Jesus. He said, if you do this unto the least of these, my brothers, you do it to me. Make a list of people that you know need to know the Lord and pray for them by name. If you haven't already, start witnessing to them.
Yeah.
Do what you ought to be doing in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the biggest thing for us personally that we need to do when we're praying about and preparing ourselves and our church for revival.
Yeah, absolutely. That's spot on. And it's funny you read 2 Chronicles because I got it pulled up right here on my computer. let me just say a couple of things about revival and the Bible because it's going to just help affirm what you guys have just said. But again, I'll say that, you know, revival is a concept that is actually central to the Scripture. You see it throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. It's really a time when God's people turn away, as Keith was just saying. It's a time when God's people turn away from sinful ways.
Yeah.
It's a time when God's people turn away from sinful ways. Mm. And seek to live a life that's pleasing to God. It's to get us, you know, we're scheduling a revival meeting with the hopes that it turns into God-sent revival because we need it.
Yeah, we all need
bottom
it.
Bottom line.
We all need it.
I need it.
And,
sure.
And yes, I do too. And so in preparation, we're seeking to encourage our church to pray, to turn from their sinful ways as we model it, as we too. And to seek to live a life that's pleasing to God. We don't wait for revival. For those, okay, God, if you want me to be holy, if you want me to live for you, you better send me, it's all on you. You better send me a revival because if you don't, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a discipline and faith where By faith, we do what we know we should. We discipline ourselves to do it, but we pray. We seek to turn from sinful ways. We seek to live a life that's pleasing to God. And again, one of the most well-known verses for this is the one that Keith just read, if my people, then. And so we see that it's even biblical. Yes, we know that revival is a sovereign act of God.
Yes.
We know that. But that doesn't negate the fact that we still have responsibility to prepare Absolutely. Ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think great examples of this, as we look at several examples in Scripture, you know, Elijah. I won't look through all these, but Elijah, he prepared mm-hmm. for revival,
mm-hmm.
did he not? When he was on the when he was on Mount Carmel and doing battle with the prophets of Baal, he prepared.
Yeah.
It was a process in Elijah's life before God sent the fire. Do you see, I mean, you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did certain things to prepare himself in faith to receive fire from God. We see the same thing with Jonah. We see a process. Now, the Ninevites might have thought it was an event. Guy shows up, starts preaching. But for Jonah, it wasn't an event. It was a process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we can probably, I'm going to look at my notes here. I think we can probably establish other examples. Where did I put those in here? Let me look. Here they are. So the book of Acts also records several early church revivals. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples at Pentecost. That appeared to be an event, but when we read this, we also know that Pentecost was according to God's redemptive plan.
Mm-hmm. True.
They were filled with boldness. When revival came, they preached the gospel, and as a result, many people came to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
We see it in Acts 4. The apostles are arrested. They're brought before the religious leaders for preaching about Jesus, but despite the threat of the persecution, the apostles continue to preach. They continue to pray for boldness. God answers their prayer. The church even grows stronger. And so these are examples of revival being more, what may seem to be an event is actually a time of process.
Mm-hmm.
God preparing his people. God's people walking in faith, repenting of sin, seeking to live closer to God, and then with the hopes of God sending revival fire with the result of new life.
Mm-hmm.
Within the congregation that actually spills out and has an influence on the on society.
Yeah.
So let me just say a couple of other things. And anytime you guys want to jump in, please feel free.
Yeah, I was thinking while you were speaking, I think all the prophets, well, first of all, they didn't want to do what God had wanted them to do in the first place. But yet in that process of God working in their hearts, and then really, well, like Jeremiah, what we're studying right now, I mean, good night. He knew that it wasn't going to be a successful time for him, but yet God used him because he was ready for God to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're saying, because he prepared his heart.
Yes.
Really for hardship. I mean, because that's why you call him the weeping prophet.
Mm-hmm. Well, even that, if you back up to Elijah, you see the same thing. God put Elijah by the creek to be fed by the ravens before it dried up. Then he sent him to, this was God's way of preparing him for
mm-hmm.
the showdown at Mount Carmel mm-hmm. when God would send true revival fire. I came across something interesting. I want to read it. It says, talking about revival, Duncan Campbell wrote one time, he said, revival is not churches filled with people, but people filled with God.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
That's good.
That's revival.
Yeah, that's good.
We want people filled with God here at Edmonds First Baptist.
Yeah, it'd make a difference, wouldn't it?
That's true.
Yeah.
It'd make a big
difference. We really do. Revival implies rejuvenation. This is Duncan Campbell going on to say, revival implies rejuvenation, a return to a biblical pattern for God's people. The church at Pentecost enjoyed a powerful outpouring of God's Spirit, and revival spread far and wide. Throughout history, God has seen fit to send times of refreshing to his people. In times of revival, Christ is at the very center as the glorified Lord to whom all must bow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, we can't really do it. God's got to. We can't do it. God's got to do it. God's got to do it.
Yeah, he does. He's got to do it. And he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's even a matter of he will use the most unlikely person,
absolutely,
the most unlikely people to carry out his work.
Yeah.
Moses was not a likely person to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. You know, when God called him, he says, but Lord, I don't talk so good, you know?
Yeah.
And God had already made a plan. He had already had a plan for that to work out for him and for his good, for the good of the children of Israel.
Yeah.
If they would have only agreed and followed, and when they repented, they would get right with God. But what would they do?
Yeah.
They'd fail to tell the next generation, and that whole cycle would take
start
place.
All over again.
All over. Mm-hmm. So.
Some of the things that Duncan Campbell talked about as far as the characteristics of revival, he talks about mourning.
Mm-hmm.
We've already discussed that, mourning over sin. That later it extends, this mourning will extend to the unsaved with the hopes of seeing them come to faith in Christ. Deep restitution, reconciliation, joy, forgiveness. He just talks about some of these things. All right, let me ask you two guys a question. I know I didn't tell you all this before, but I want to ask you it now. What are some warnings that we might need to be on guard against concerning revival?
First of all, I think that we need to be careful that we don't try to conjure up a move of God in our own mind like we think he ought to move. We need to be open to him. And sometimes that means laying aside our own pride. As a worship leader, I see it. You know, you watch some videos and you see some different things going on all around the world, and it seems that in some settings people are in love with the way they worship. They're not in love with the God they worship.
That's true.
Because of that, I think we need to see hearts change and not come into it so much as what's in it for me. How am I going to walk away? Is it going to make me feel just right? You know, and I mean,
am I looking for a certain experience?
Right. And God's given us feelings for a reason, but it's beyond an experience.
It is. You know, back during the first and second Great Awakening, especially during the second Great Awakening, you had you had true revival, and then you had counterfeit revival. So you had people who were trying to manipulate revival, barking like dogs, extreme laughter, all those different things, and which is some of the things that Jonathan Edwards and others wrote against. So we do know that there are such things as counterfeit revival, where people try to do the best that they can to mimic the acts of God, or to do something absolutely crazy and attribute it to God. Now, do signs and wonders accompany revival? There are times when they do, they do, not all the time.
Jesus himself warned against asking for a sign.
What are some hindrances to revival? This is kind of a both end. So when you think about a hindrance to revival, if a church is not ready for revival, then why should they schedule revival? So this is something that I've experienced. God has blessed me with an opportunity to preach, untold revivals since I've been a Christian. And I love doing them. I love preaching revivals. I believe it's one of the areas where God's gifted me. I love it. But one of the most disheartening things is when you go to preach a revival, you're leaving your home church, you're leaving your wife, you're leaving your kids usually, you're traveling, and one of the most disheartening things is when you come to a church and you've made these commitments and the church is not ready. They just put it on the calendar. There's no preparation. People in the church don't even like, there's people in the church can't even get along with each other.
Yeah, like the preacher's just supposed to make it happen.
So the preacher schedules a revival, hoping that the church will get united.
Well, we hope people will show up.
So what they need to do is start getting united.
Right.
And start repenting
Before it ever happens.
Before it ever comes. And so that's just one example. So there are warnings or are hindrances to revival. We just mentioned a few. Of course, we're not going exhaustive because we don't have that much time. But I would say that the blessings of revival far outweigh any of the other things that we have to be concerned about. But these are things that we do have to talk about. Now, let me just conclude by saying that here at First Baptist, we started last month. Well, we really started at the beginning of the year, to be honest with you. I mean, we scheduled our revival last year. The one that's this year, we actually scheduled it last year because at the beginning of every year, I pray, I seek the Lord, Lord, what's your will for our church? And last year, the Lord led me to schedule a revival for this year. So this has been a year in the making. And we have been praying. We have been seeking God. We're doing podcasts. I've written a little booklet that we're going to send out to our church members.
Great book. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's good.
We are having prayer meetings, Lord's Supper, blitzing the community. We're doing all these things, you know, leading up. These are all things that we're doing in preparation leading up to the revival meetings with the hopes of having true revival. Now, it may not happen, but we're expecting it, and we're wanting it, and we need it. And so we're, as a church, we've already started preparing our hearts to hear from God with the hopes of God sending revival to Edmonds First Baptist Church. We believe that these are things you've got to pray for, you have to prepare for.
Right.
You can't just
throw it together.
Throw it together.
At the end of the day, it boils down to pastoral leadership.
Yeah.
You've got to have a plan. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get that word from the Lord and then communicate it to your people.
Yeah.
So their hearts will be right.
Exactly.
For revival.
Yeah. So we don't always have revival meetings every year. We kind of let the Lord lead us. But, you know, perhaps you're a pastor listening to this and it's resonated with you and maybe you want to talk more about it. Then I would love to talk more with you about it if you feel that could be helpful. But maybe you would pray about whether or not the Lord wants you and your church to schedule revival meetings with the hopes of God sending a revival. But I would say before you make that decision, you need to go ahead and be willing to pray and put in the prayer work and the repentant work in preparation. Again, we believe that revival is a sovereign act of God.
Yes.
But yet, God has chosen the means as well as the end. And so we want to be faithful. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Till we meet again, serve the King.